I think it'd be great to try. And I think that the more things we can do on Zoom and these kinds of platforms is only going to help us further in our career. Because I think that this is, I don't think this is going to be an anomaly. I think this is kind of the way of the future. And so the better we can all test this and play with it and be familiar for our next steps is only going to help, I think.
Hey, this is Emily Nicholas, and you're listening to Season 2, Episode 2 of the Data Dogs Podcast. We're using Season 2 to connect with MBA, MSBA, and STEM MBA students for all things COVID-19. On this episode, I'm joined by my co-host, Jake Mosley, and Lee Britton, and special guest, Brenna Tudor, the president of GBA. Brenna shares with us some updates from the student side, and then we talk about current and upcoming events, virtual events, that is, with the MBA and MSBA programs. Make sure to let us know if you have any insights or questions for us by reaching out via email or online at Georgia Analytics. Hope you're enjoying the show. Let's get started for episode 2. On our first episode last week, Jake, Emily, and I talked about what unfolded over spring break and the decisions the University of Georgia made pertaining to the COVID-19 pandemic. And we gave a 30,000-foot view of what that transition was for students and what that looks like for them, and even mentioned graduation convocation being canceled and all classes going remote. That began Monday, March 30th. Today, we're going to bring in a student, our GBA president, Brenna Tudor, that is going to talk about her insight of what unfolded over spring break and kind of give a student's perspective on that. Before we jump in, we're going to highlight some updates that between last week and this week kind of unfolded. And Emily has some CMC updates, or Jake has some updates for us.
No, it's not so much updates just yet. It's just I'm eager to hear from Brenna when we get there, because I feel like so much of last week was kind of reacting to like, oh God, what just happened? And now what are we going to do? And this week we're starting to roll out with the online classes, getting into what we're doing and more of a plan, and maybe starting to get over the idea that spring in Athens has pretty much been canceled, which I'm still sort of dealing with. And I'm sure the students are too. But that's why I'm eager to sort of, when we talk to Brenna later, get into that a little bit. Emily, from the CMC side, I know you guys are hard at it, connecting with students and employers and alumni. But what's up with you in your world?
Sure. Yeah, well, we're trying to stay busy. Obviously, it's a time where people are nervous and unsure. And so what we're trying to do is just focus on the information that we know that's true and then move forward with what we can. So there's three consistent events or connections that we're trying to make with students just to be consistent and have some sort of a normal cadence. The first is we're hosting virtual office hours every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. This isn't any programming of any sort, but it's just a good place for students to drop in and ask questions. And should there be a mass amount of questions that we want to put out some answers to, then we'll do so in an FAQ. But yeah, just a good opportunity really just to chat, check in, let us know what some of your prospects are, answer general questions. So again, that's every Wednesday from 2 to 3.
Staying on the office hours, what are the logistics of those? How do students plug in to do with it? Is that individual CMC members? Are you guys on there as a group call? How does that work?
Good question. Yeah, so the whole CMC group of us is on a Zoom call, and it's on the CMC calendar, so everyone has access to that Zoom link, and drop in whenever students can between 2 and 3. No need to stay the whole time unless you're really enjoying time with the CMC like I do. It's a really simple, not very formatted, meant to be an open forum opportunity.
What has your participation been like in the office hours?
Yeah, it's been, we had a good participation then the first week. So 2 weeks ago, I think between 5 and 10 students. So that was still, I would call it spring break week. So I often, I mentioned, I was like, if I was still on spring break, I don't know if I would jump in either. And then last week we had just a couple of people, and we're considering that that was the first week that learning went online. So also, if students think that 2 to 3 p.m. is makes for a better nap hour than it does for office hours, please do let us know. We're flexible, just trying to be available at a time that works for everyone. Yeah, that's a good point.
Speaking of everyone, I was just going to mention that that's for first-year MBAs, second-year MBAs, STEM MBAs, our MSBA, and this podcast is intended for all audiences too. We're trying to use this both across student engagement and career services to connect with all of our students. So I think it's great that you guys have a sort of a weekly drop-in thing. And I'm sure you're up to more too as well.
Yes, it's nice to hear from everyone. And we give bonus points to people who join the meeting and have a unique Zoom background. The one I used 2 weeks ago was stacks of toilet paper behind me. And then this week I set my background as Jeopardy, like the Jeopardy wall of the numbers. So, you know, we're just trying to keep it light, or at least I am. And would love, just really love to see people. I think our office does a pretty good job of inviting people to drop in and say hello and just give us quick updates on what's going on. And that's a really easy way to do that between 2 and 3 on Wednesdays. And the next kind of weekly event that we have are mentor mixers. We're just starting these. And what we're doing is we're inviting alumni who have jobs available, and then also alumni who may have graduated between 2008 and 2010 and that period of time, or just general leaders from our alumni network who are willing to give back to students and talk a little bit about what it's like to be on the other side of it in the business sector and having to respond. And so we're having those every Friday. The time will be flexible, and those will be more specific based on the particular area with where the alumni work. So we have alumni queued up from finance, and so finance students to participate. But of course, everyone is welcome. And that, again, will be an opportunity available through a Zoom link on the calendar. And we're trying to do some individual outreach to those who we think would particularly enjoy the alumni we're inviting in. The last event is G1 Park is hosting twice monthly case interview workshops. I've sat in on the last couple of them, and they've been great. It's a quick hour, and he runs through one or two cases, and it's a really good opportunity to practice for case interviewing. I know a lot of our students individually go to G1 to get that sort of practice, and this is a nice way to get the same sort of value in a workshop session. And again, those are twice a month and are on the CMC calendar.
Awesome. G1 is a rock star. I do not know what we'd do without him. For sure. So I'm glad he's out there. And the mentor mixer, I mean, that's a model the CMC has used in normal circumstances and for the spring job search, you know, bringing folks in to teach and talk about, you know, resume reviews and things like that. So that's awesome that we're keeping that up as well, because that's an opportunity too for students, am I right, to, you know, they can kind of hear what business folks are seeing on how their day-to-day is changing under this. What hiring's looking like. I know you guys are putting that word out too, but it's always great to hear from the practitioners too.
Yes. Yeah. We're hoping it'll be formatted. Kind of they'll give a presentation or just chat a little bit about what's going on in their world for 10 to 15 minutes and then have some general Q&A after that. Again, it's supposed to be really quick. We know our alumni are busy and things are more chaotic than normal, but we're grateful a lot of them, many of them are willing to connect and want to give back in the same way that they would on campus, but in this new virtual format.
Awesome.
Cool. Thanks, Emily.
Yeah.
So I have one smaller update that pertains to graduation. Not so much the actual event, but there was a couple of students that asked if they could still get their regalia from the bookstore, and they actually can. So if you still want to get any of your graduation stuff, you can actually reach out to the bookstore and talk to them directly.
No, that's a good point, Lee, because I mean, I know that may seem weird to students, but part of getting your master's degree too is you get the hood that's all nice and fancy. So you probably, I could see where students would want to be able to hang on to that. I know it's kind of a one-time wear thing, but it is nice to have your tassel and your hood. And you may, I probably shouldn't say something I don't know the answer to, but it might be possible to just buy pieces like that if you wanted to, if yeah. you didn't want to have a gown. So.
I mean, I know that some students, or I shouldn't say some, but one student is putting a graduation packet together for his family. So he's kind of highlighting his achievements throughout the year and taking pictures and kind of sending that as a you know, a his own way of sending himself off, so to speak. If there's anything that you want to do that, you know, pertains to how you want to finish off the semester, you know, we can always brainstorm some ideas to do this virtually.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I want us to, if students have ideas, to kind of reach out. I think one of the hard things right now among many is we don't know what we're in for or how long we're in for it. You know, I wish I could be like, hey, Athens is going to open back up in May and graduation's been canceled, but we can still do something, you know, but we just don't know yet. So, but yeah. I would encourage students out there, again, MSBA, MBA, STEM MBA that will be graduating this year, you know, we're here and we're going to do what we can. Don't know what that looks like, but, and it's certainly not what any of us envisioned, but yeah, that's kind of a bummer for sure. Maybe that's a good segue for us to bring Brenna on and hear from her to see what students are going through. What do you think, Lee?
Yeah, that works for me. Brenna, thanks for joining us today.
No problem. I'm excited to be here.
I can introduce Brenna's second year MBA, leads our GBA program. He's been a strong leader for our program. So thanks for taking the time to join. And Lee, I know you have a couple questions you wanted to get started with.
Yeah. So Brenna, kind of tell us your initial reaction when you were on spring break and the university announced they were suspending classes for 2 weeks.
I think initially, and I'm sure this is the sentiment is echoed amongst my classmates. I was excited. You know, I was on spring break. I was in Florida with friends. And we're like, woohoo, 2 more weeks to party. And didn't really think about the ramifications of, oh my gosh, this means we're going online. This means graduation is going to be canceled. This means formal is going to be canceled. I think that it was initial excitement without thinking long term.
I think we were all taking it like one day at a time, and then the announcements were smaller, and then all of a sudden it was a lot bigger than we thought it would be.
Following that same theme real quick, it's like, I think for me, staff, I think we kind of thought, okay, 2 weeks to get our feet under us for the stretch run. And then it's like, oh, wait, there's not, the stretch run is going to be completely different. So
we're still on the stretch run.
yeah. We're just on a different course or path or sport.
So with that announcement that it's changing and evolving, now classes are all online for the rest of the semester. Graduation was supposed to be May 7th. Classes were supposed to end beginning of May. What do you think now about doing classes remotely? And you guys started doing that Monday. So what did ELC even look like?
It's definitely been challenging. I know that Monday morning, I kind of had the initial thought, I'm going to try to keep my schedule and do my classes, even though it's asynchronous, try to do classes around when I would have taken them otherwise to keep myself on somewhat of a schedule, especially after the last 3 weeks kind of not having one. But Monday morning ELC was a little bit of a zoo. I couldn't get any of the videos to download. I know that other classmates had similar sentiments that, you know, it wasn't working great for them. But I think that as the week's gone on, some of these kinks have worked out. I actually took a midterm on ELC yesterday. It was the first time I've done that.
What was that like?
Yeah, I mean, the test was hard, but that wasn't an ELC problem. But it went well. The professor did something that I think was really beneficial. He had a practice quiz on ELC that didn't count for anything, but it had each type of question that he was going to ask so that we could test the functionality of taking pictures and uploading things on ELC and how to do long answer, how to do short answer. So that was helpful. There are kind of no surprises with like how ELC works.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So I think it's awesome. Been a, you know, it's a learning curve for all of us. And I'm sure professors feel the same way.
The sense I had from sort of that 2 week break is that a lot of faculty, that's exactly what they were doing, figuring out how they were going to get to move their content online. So I think it's a learning curve for all of us. And it sounds like, too, you guys are still adjusting, because when you said that you sort of your first week back, we're kind of in week three of working remotely. And it's different for everybody. But also, I feel like we all kind of hit a wall, I don't know, a couple of days ago over the weekend. Like everybody was a little bit slower this Monday than they were the Monday before, if that makes sense.
I could imagine.
Are you starting to feel your schedule isn't as structured? Like, you know, Jake was talking about hitting that wall a couple of days ago. And for me, I mean, I'm not taking all, you know, a lot of the classes that, you know, taking classes like you guys are, but it's hard to find a structured schedule now. And are you finding that as a student to, you know, you're not in, on campus 8 to 5 anymore. When are you getting up and when are you studying? And is there a schedule yet that you feel you're finding a rhythm for?
Not quite yet. And I think that I was a little optimistic about, oh, I'm going to do my classes at the exact same time that I would do them otherwise. Not realizing like, oh, you know, maybe I want to get up and walk my dog. Or on Wednesdays, I usually go from 8 to 5 straight through. And now I'm like, oh, I can eat lunch. I can take an hour break.
Right.
That's an hour. I'm not doing, you know, a class. So I hope next week I get a better rhythm. I think this week was a little strange too, because I had Monday was just kind of a learning experience. And then Wednesday I had a midterm. So it's kind of like not a typical class week for me. So I hope next week is a little smoother and feels a little bit more normal.
For sure. Yeah, I think we're all hoping for a new normal.
Yeah, not easy.
So have you talked to your peers and to see how they're adjusting or where they are?
Yeah, I think that, so we have a group me that is still very active. It's hard to tell exactly where everyone is, but it does feel like a good amount of people did end up staying in Athens. We haven't seen each other. I've run into people like at the smoothie place or at Kroger, and it's like I'm like the happiest I've ever been to see somebody that I know.
Yeah, that was a question I had, was like if I know there was a strong bond between the second years, and I was just kind of wondering if you guys were staying connected as a group. And again, I know we're early into this, but I'm curious how that's unfolding. So the group me is still going strong?
Yeah, the group me is still going strong. I've seen a few classmates who've gotten together to go walking, to be outside and, you know, maintain social distance while trying to be active. But, you know, we're keeping in touch on the group me that, you know, we can't really hang out, which is tough, but I know people have been doing virtual happy hours or, you know, I have a Zoom meeting set up tomorrow with some friends. So hanging in there.
Cool. Because, I mean, I was going to ask about, you know, virtual connections, because I think we're, as student engagement for all three programs, kind of ready to lean in and offer like a virtual coffee hour and a virtual happy hour, like maybe even next week. I was thinking we could do like a coffee hour to get everybody into the rhythm of the week, like early on maybe Tuesday or Monday sometime, and then end the week with a happy hour,
like a virtual happy hour.
Okay. So you think students might be up for that?
I do. I talked to I was talking to a classmate yesterday. He's my negotiating partner. He specifically asked, like, what are we going to do as a class? How can we all do stuff? So I do think that there's interest and that people would join.
Okay, awesome. Because I think, again, back to G1, he's brilliant. He's all bringing us up to speed on Zoom. Emily, with her backgrounds and stuff, or you know, some of us are further along than others. But G1 is I know Zoom has the capability for breakout rooms, because I know when you think about how if you get 30 people in one Zoom, that's just going to be a mess. But we're thinking we could have multiple rooms and groups of, you know, 5, 8 to 10 people in one room and one overall Zoom meeting with several breakout rooms. So we might give that a shot as student engagement.
I think it'd be great to try. And I think that the more things we can do on Zoom and these kinds of platforms is only going to help us further in our careers. Because I think that I don't think this is going to be an anomaly. I think this is kind of the way of the future. And so the better we can all test this and play with it and be familiar for our next steps is only going to help, I think.
Okay, awesome. Well, I mean, Lee, Emily, we're sort of up for virtual events, right, through Zoom. Emily, I know you talked about maybe even leading a yoga session.
Yeah, you know, I'm more than willing. It makes me so nervous. It's like I know how to teach people in real life, but to teach people through Zoom, you know, it's harder to tell where people are at. In fact, I was teaching my sister yesterday and, you know, I told her to put her hands on her legs and she had them by her head. It just doesn't translate as well.
Okay.
I'm very willing should it serve the people.
Well, I guess to Brenna's point too, we're going to learn what translates to Zoom and what doesn't. So, okay.
Right. Well, too, I feel like a lot more people are using Zoom now. And I don't know if y'all are finding a struggle to keep up with the technology and the updates that are coming through.
I think it would be cool if we do our virtual happy hour, coffee hour, maybe even like a quick Zoom tutorial. I didn't know you could do different backgrounds. Emily, I want you to show me how to do that.
I know. I need someone to show me how to put something behind me besides a blank wall.
Yeah. That's a great idea.
Yeah. Emily taught us all Microsoft Teams before we left as a staff. So I've heard that was kind of one challenge when I connected with students. They're using different platforms, like different meetings on Zoom and Teams. But as a staff, our team experience has been pretty good, especially thanks to Emily, sort of bringing us up to speed.
And I remember when we did that tutorial, it seemed like make-believe. It seemed like, oh, this is just in case, like, let's just cover. It did not feel mission critical. And then little did we know that it became very mission critical. I think that was a Thursday. It was that Monday. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful.
Well, cool. Well, thanks for the idea, too, about a Zoom tutorial. We'll add that to our list. And that's why, too, I want to connect with students, because if there are ideas out there where we can help, we want to lean in and fill that space. So.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. One more question I have for you, Brenna, if I may for a second. I know you sent out an email recently about GBA elections. Is there, and that would be for rising second year MBA students. So do you want to put a plug for that in here?
Yeah, thank you. So GBA elections have started this week. It's the call for nominations right now for the class of 2021. So nominate yourself, nominate a classmate. And then I also just want to call out that the positions are really flexible. So this is something that my class changed from the class before us. The class of 2019 had a VP that was specifically working with the CMC, and we felt that position could be kind of merged a little bit. So we changed that to the VP mentorship, which I know that Rob has done a lot with this year. It's exciting. And then we also added the VP of International Immersion. So if there's anything that your class sees a need for or thinks that there's room to combine positions, we're completely flexible. It's what you want the program to look like, and that's one of the great things that GBA offers.
Yeah, thanks for saying those things, because that's something that I've usually this time of year when we're in person, I'm telling first years, you know, we look to you to sort of help mold that second year into what you want it to be. as mm-hmm. a collective group and cohort. And GBA is the formal way by which, you know, students kind of decide, they elect their leadership. And then those folks bring ideas to us or implement their own ideas as to, because every class is different, and their focus and what they want to do or pursue is a little different. And so we hope that GBA is a vehicle for, you know, second year leaders to do just that. And Brenna, I got to say, you guys as a group have done an amazing job. I'm very, very proud of y'all. So thank you for all you've done. I think it was because, I mean, the only credit I would take for it is that we just hounded y'all to death last semester about not going to the internship and forgetting about us. Because, like, I think, you know, a lot of times, you know, so much is thrown at you in that first year, and then you go and you have an internship, and you have a wonderful experience, and then you learn how to apply, and then you're a second year, and it's like they come back telling us all the things we need to do. So you guys were sort of refreshing to take some, hey, we think the program could do this differently, and here's how we're proposing to help the program do that, was a huge step forward for us, I think, and something I hope to continue.
Well, thank you. I mean, it's being president of GBA has been my favorite activity I've done at Georgia, and I think one of the more valuable experiences I've had. So I really recommend anyone who's interested reaching out, nominating themselves or working with a classmate to get nominated. We have a lot of fun, and it's been a really great experience.
Ooh, well thanks for saying that and for spearheading the election for this year.
Thanks, Jake.
Thanks, Brenna. And also, too, the students have selected a GWBA president for next year. First year, Lily is going to take Rennie's place. So there's a congratulations out for her to lead our Graduate Women's Business Association club next year.
Yeah, we're excited about that. And I will just give a plug, too. I think Lee is going to be the lead advisor for GWBA next year going forward. So we're all excited about that. She did amazing things to help with some of the stuff that Maggie pulled off with GWBA. Lee and Ann were essential to it. And we're excited for Lee to take on more of a role with that as well. So
yeah, I'm excited about that. It was a lot of fun to really be engaged with a club this year, and Maggie was wonderful to work with. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to what's to come for GWBA next year.
That's absolutely great. That's great news.
Heck yeah. Well, Brenna, thanks for taking the time. Do you have any questions for us? Is there anything before we let you go?
No, I think that just the only thing I've kind of been hearing from classmates is people are interested in, and I know this is a question there's not really an answer to yet, but doing something for graduation and something to commemorate, you know, the achievement. So I think if we can all stay in touch as the situation develops and see what kind of opportunities there are maybe later in May.
Yes, thank you for saying that, because that's one thing I like about a podcast platform too, is I can say things that I might not be able to put in an email, but the president's email a week ago that we referenced in the first episode, saying that, you know, we don't know what the end of this looks like, but he's got a committee looking at what to do for graduate students, really kind of calmed me down a little bit about that, because you guys have worked so hard and put so much into it that once we're at a place where it's okay to get together again, like, we're definitely open to trying to figure out what we could do, what an event might look like. It's hard to say. We don't really know the timeline of this, but
I
don't want students to think we've completely given up on the idea of celebrating you guys again without knowing quite what that would look like. But it's top of mind for us.
That's good to hear. Thank you. I think we all appreciate that. And Hope the situation improves and we can do something.
Absolutely. Well, it won't be for lack of effort on our part if the sky's clear, so to speak.
For sure. Well, thank you, Brenna, for joining us today. And yeah, stay tuned for any kind of new updates that come through our office or anything that you guys want to share. Feel free to reach out to us and let us know.
Awesome. Absolutely. Thank you, Brenna.
Thanks, everyone.
Ooh, man, it's so good to hear from our students. I can kind of hear too, like, You know, it's, Brenna was saying, it's great to, she's so happy when she sees people, when she does go out. So same for us to actually get to connect and interact with our students is really good. So,
yeah, it's weird not being in the office and, you know, popping in and asking questions and kind of the flow there. So it's more quiet. I'm not used to this. It's not quiet because there's children, but
yeah, I got a completely asinine email 2 days ago and like wanted to scream, but like there was nobody to hear it. Like, if you know, like at least if we're in the office, like I know somebody's going to be like, ah, sorry, Jake, but like I was here in my basement by myself, you know, not really ready to come in front of the kids. So yeah, I just texted Patty. Like, that's all I knew to do. Like,
yeah, hey, right.
We certainly feed off each other as a staff, but even more so, I think, our students. So
Right. Yeah, because they bring a lot of ideas to us, too. And, like, when we do have situations that come into our office where we need the students' input or their opinion on it, they're usually around where we can roll ideas around, and they can tell us, we don't want to do that. Stop bothering us.
No, that's a great point. And I'm glad too why Brenna touched on GBA, because I mean that's kind of a vision for us for GBA, right? Like bring ideas to us, because if we're doing things that don't resonate with the students or they don't find valuable, then we're literally wasting everybody's time. So mm-hmm. But I was glad to hear they were interested in virtual connections next week. So I guess I should say we're recording this on a Thursday. We hope to have it up live on a Friday. So that means like when I say next week, you know, Monday, April 7th or 8th, I'm not sure what the day is, but that week we would look to try to have some information out about some virtual connections. So
yeah, for sure. Yeah. So we'll work on that on our end, technology wise.
Yeah. More to come.
Navigating the technology. So, Kat, rolling into our a lighter note on things, we came up with a COVIDcast toolkit and sharing things that are keeping you in your rhythm, whether that's anything academically that you're doing on your own or, you know, you're able to find time now to work on your personal goals. You guys want to share, like, what interests you right now to keep you sane and going?
Well, I was pretty, you know, this was Emily's idea, and I think it's a really good idea because it's kind of, you know, what's helping you through this tough time, whether that be how efficient, how am I being more productive, or on the lighter side, what are things I'm looking forward to? What's adding enjoyment to my day? So, Emily, do you want to roll first?
Sure. Yeah, there's a lot of little things that are helping me. The first is Coca-Cola came out with a new sparkling water called Aha Water. Like, aha! That's the feeling I get when I drink it. I was never a LaCroix person. I'm not really a sparkling water person, but I'm an Aha Water person. There's, you know, 8, I don't know how many flavors, but they're all wonderful. And that's just lighting up my life. So that's the first thing. The second thing is my yoga studio that I go to has Zoom classes. And so practicing yoga every day and just moving around. I talk a lot about, you know, my walk to the bathroom or to the kitchen to get food is much shorter than it used to be. And so finding some sort of movement every day is really valuable for me. And then the last thing is, I grew up playing piano and haven't really played in a while, but I've been back at my parents' house and they have a piano. And so just plunking all the keys and really just seeing how not good I am anymore. But it's just a nice, I kind of get into a flow state, and just having something to concentrate on has been really valuable to break up my day. So yeah, water, yoga, piano, all great things that are in my COVIDcast toolkit. What about you, Lee?
In my toolkit, I'm appreciating the sunny days that we have here in Georgia and try to go outside as much as I can. So it's planting season. So I'm trying to plant what I have in my garage out in the yard, which is, it's growing. Last year, a lot died and didn't come back. So I was pleased to see a lot came back this year. And then I have to give a shout out to my favorite show, Outlander. And the book, because that is what I do in my spare time when my daughter goes to bed at night and the house is quiet and the lights are off and I can just like watch my show or read the book. So that's definitely helping me get away from reality a little bit. What about you, Jake?
The yard has been a good thing for me as well. Sort of similar to you, I think I let a lot of stuff go last year. I've never gotten into gardening, but now seems like a time. So I'm going to try that, taking care of the yard. It gets the girls outside. I'm expecting a big load of mulch within the next couple of weeks. So,
oh, nice.
The nice weather is great. So I would say the getting outside piece and the yard are the big thing for me. The weird one for me is, and I'm just going to open up to you guys, I've gotten really big into Bigfoot podcasts. So like I'm in the wormhole of like Bigfoot podcasts. And it's not so much that like I believe there's a Bigfoot, but it's more like in the season of life I am right now with a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, I can't binge watch the coolest stuff on Netflix. So like all of that Tiger stuff, I'm missing all of that. My kids are nonstop, and maybe that's my own fault. So binge watching is out. And then the other thing is like real serious. Like I can't watch the news too much. It's like a little bit in the morning, a little bit in the night, and I can't do that. And now with kids, like I can't take like the true crime stuff. Like I was way into serial back in the day and all that stuff. But now that I got little ones, I really care about murder rate. So Bigfoot, because I can completely let go and be like, what are these fools talking about? And so that's helping me sort of escape, stay sane, so to speak. So
what entails a Bigfoot podcast? Do they talk about like history and findings? And
so that's the other thing that I've got really deep into is like the subculture. And so there's a lot of infighting, like, which is, again, there's so there are different groups, you know, trying to prove Bigfoot exists in their own way.
Okay.
And they're all throwing a lot of shade at each other. So it's kind of interesting to see, like, you know, like something will come out, so-and-so saw Bigfoot, and then there'll be like, you know, it's kind of like a spectrum. The people that, of course, this is it, we finally found him. And then other people like, that video was dumb as shit. Like, there's nothing there. It's, you know, and so, and they're like, there are some scientists that are working on this, so it's interesting to listen to different people go back and forth about what is or is not evidence, regardless of whether you think he's out there or she. I'm just more into somewhat of the infighting, you know? So, yeah. Because there's not like a Bigfoot podcast I could recommend so much, because I'm just bouncing. Like I'll hear something interesting to me and be like, hey, I wonder what other people think about that. And then they'll go bash. It's just
podcasts do that. And the more that are out there, it's harder not to get into a rabbit hole.
So, and then some of it is just pure entertaining. Like when people report like a sighting and the person they're reporting it to on the podcast just immediately starts prescribing all of the human reasoning why a Bigfoot would act that way is pretty funny and a bit ridiculous. With back to, I need that in my life right now. Like,
See, it lets you get away from reality a little bit.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Great, guys. Well, thanks again, Brenna, for joining us. And this has been another Data Dog podcast with Jake Mosley, Emily Nicholas, and myself, Lee Britton. Thanks for joining us today. See ya.
See ya.
Thanks for listening today to the Data Dog podcast. Want to give a quick student shout out to Sadant, who completed a SQL certificate and put it on LinkedIn. If you or any of your classmates have anything you want to share with us, please reach out via email or by visiting us on social media at Georgia Analytics or Georgia MBA. See you next time.